Amanda Martin, Patty Hayes, welcome.
Hello, Julia.
Hi.
Now, Fort Wayne Museum of Art has recently opened a trio of powerful exhibitions, all focused on the effects of physical and mental disability on the creation of art. Congratulations on this wonderful offering. Why did your organizations come together to do this?
Well, Julia, it was probably January of last year, and in anticipation of 2017 being the 10th anniversary for AWS Foundation and March being Disability Awareness Month, we went to Charles and Amanda just to say, how do we use art to be one more message to this community about how important disability is as one of the attributes of the people who live here? And from there, Amanda took it and ran with it and came back with what you ended up being able to see at the museum now.
I commend you all on this. And Amanda, why this particular trio of exhibits?
Well, I will admit here for the first time that it was a tall order, and I'm really happy with what we came up with. So we actually had to spend an entire summer having staff conversations and researching and seeking out artists and exhibition concepts, because what we didn't want to be was patronizing, and we didn't want to do something that had already been done before, because we found through research that there were a number of museums that had done exhibits addressing disability. So we didn't want to just churn out another group show by artists who had some kind of disability. And so what we came up with was a photography exhibit by a father-son duo called Echolalia. It's based on their book. The son has autism and the father is a commercial photographer. Spontaneously, they started taking photos of their life together. And they call it, quote, a tense but respectful relationship, which I think is apt of not just parent-child relationships all over the world, but parent-child relationship with autism emerging in their lives. The second show, we knew we wanted to give the public some names of artists that they would recognize. And so we turned to our permanent collection and were able to actually come up with more names than we could exhibit of work by artists who had some verifiable documented disability. And then the third show was another photography exhibit of a father who has documented for 30 years his life with his daughter Sharon. Shortly after her birth, they knew something was wrong with her, and they identified a number of disabilities, including blindness and developmental delays. He also is a professional photographer, and it's so moving.
That's an amazing trio of exhibits. And Patty, you certainly are familiar with all of the disablements and artistic expression. What did you think when you heard what they had put together?
They exceeded my expectations. They were able to identify phenomenal artists who are defined by their art, not their disability. And that's so inspirational.
That's a great point. And I feel emerging from this conversation, as well as the exhibits and its place in the public's eye and heart, that this is maybe a template or a work in progress just as to how life should be, that we should go along, we should do what we can do and respect what others can. Does that make sense?
Right. I think a show like this can do a lot for eliminating some of the marginalizing that we tend to do based on this person's difference. That person's different, so they're in another subset of society. They're in the very small percentage that you see on the pie chart there. I'm in the big part of the pie chart because I'm normal. And we wanted this show to help people in whatever measure we can to fully integrate people into quote-unquote normal life, as we like to think of ourselves as living.
And those changes with art, I would hope people would translate to say, should I be hiring people with disabilities? How does their unique life position contribute to their job? A different perspective. The person with ASD, autism spectrum disorder, has a different perspective that is valuable when you want someone to proofread code, because they have great attention to detail. That disability is an asset when it's properly considered. I hope people go through the exhibit and think about that, being just a little more open to understanding, including people with disabilities throughout every part of the community.
think about what skills a person has rather than what abilities they lack. I think that in especially the Expressions of Existence show, the Permanent Collection show, you'll see that artists like Chuck Close, who had severe spinal injuries, you know, he painted with his mouth. And if you look at his work, you can see how his brushstrokes were impacted by that. Well, he also pioneered a style of painting, and no one has ever come close to doing it as well as he did. So, mm-hmm. you know, here's somebody who we think has lost everything, but actually he's gained one thing that many artists will never achieve.
And the important part is that the gallery goers are going to get all of this
yes.
and more.
Yes, we made sure to include every artist's story.
That's fantastic. So, with the Sharon and Echo Lilia exhibits, does the intimacy shared in these father-child relationships translate through the pieces themselves as you're just walking through the exhibits?
Yes, they are real, they're raw, they're beautiful. The photographers are artists, so they're very technically well done. The colors, the shadow balancing is wonderful. I think of what Leon Borenstein said about his daughter. He said, "Do I flatter her? Do I show her when she's giving me a crazy day? Do I show how hard it is being a single father? How do I do this?" All of it's in there. No day is the same with Sharon, and yet in the whole exhibit, you can see how he wishes to perceive her as his beautiful daughter, even on the days when she's not giving him a beautiful day.
That's quite an artistic feat, as mm-hmm. well as a parental mm-hmm. victory, I would mm-hmm. think so. And in your mind, Patty, how does the beauty of the art reflect the realities that families have to deal with in situations like this?
I felt like I understood him as a father because of what images he chose to share of his daughter. Less so on the Echo Lilia piece, but I thought it was revealing of him, even though he's not the subject of the photographs.
I think in Echo Lilia, we get a sense of how Eli thinks. And
Eli has autism.
He's the son, yep. And how he sees his world, how he sees the objects around him. I think they're symbolic also, as much as they are, this is real life. So even though these images in Echo Lilia are in a lot of ways haunting, there's a sense of humor there too.
There's kind of a fantasy, magical mm-hmm. look mm-hmm. to some of it that will spark discussion. If you go with someone, mm-hmm. you may see it two different ways.
Yeah.
To try and see it.
They're theatrical
yeah.
in
yes.
a way.
Which a lot of life is for everyone's like. So this is all truth and yeah. artistic.
Not so different from parents with neurotypical children. Yes, there is a little theater.
That's great. Beginning this Saturday, you have some special events that tie in very nicely with these exhibits. And first of all, Timothy and Eli Archibald will be at the museum to meet the public. What do you feel this kind of interaction will bring to the show?
Our audiences love when they can meet the artists. So not only do they get to meet the artists, but they get to meet the subject and the inspiration for Echo Lilia. It's like a celebrity experience.
Sure.
You usually don't get to meet the creators of the artwork that we show. And it's like meeting your favorite musician. You know, they can tell you things that you never knew. You can see the human side.
And the fact that they are happy to be coming and sharing their story with everybody yeah, here yeah, in town yeah. is really a chance in a lifetime for us all.
To learn a lot more. Absolutely, Julia.
Also, later in this month, there's a tour of the exhibits for the blind and visually impaired, and mm-hmm. that is a great idea anyway. That's a salute to Sharon and her own blindness that she has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
What are you planning on this being?
Well, you have to talk about the art using sensory language that they've experienced. I can't say the green plant in this picture because someone who's blind may have never seen right. the color green. I have to say that tree tastes like the spinach salad that you had at lunch today.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Or the red of her skirt is like a juicy strawberry on a summer day. And so you're talking about art in rather unconventional terms, but it is the only way to convey how an artwork looks to somebody who can't see it. So we are working with the League for the Blind and Disabled to train us on some of those tactics. There are some giants of the museum world that have sort of pioneered this style of tour, and so we'll be looking to them for best practices.
That sounds wildly exciting for anyone that wants to have an unconventional tour of an unconventional
yes, and it's
and
for
wonderful
anyone.
Show.
It's not just for blind people.
So besides being an artistic expression of reality, how do these photo collections in particular speak to the everyday world of disability?
For some people, it might provide a safe place to look. I've said before, as I grew up and I remember seeing a person with a disability, and maybe it was the early nurse in me, but my inquisitiveness and my mother saying, "Patty, stop, that's rude, don't stare. You can come here and look," because, you know, there is a curiosity. Mm-hmm. And you see, Sharon looks beautiful. You can see some of Eli's behaviors in the photos look unusual. And I'm sure in the actual situation it was. But you can stare, you can talk. There's a safe environment. If you want to go through and teach a family a little bit more about who some of the people are in the community.
I could not have said it better. Yes, totally.
That is the power that art has on giving quite a perspective to life. So from each of your professional and passionate perspectives, what does this trio of shows teach you about the effects of physical and mental disability on the creation of art?
Well, I don't know everything that they went through to get to where they are, but it doesn't appear as though the disability has been a diss on their careers in any way or their ability to move the hearts and minds of people. Just seeing that everybody's human here and this is what we do.
It is inspirational. When I'm having a bad day, something that seems monumental in the greater scheme of things, to study how someone has taken on so much more and found beauty, found success, found a means to express what they feel inside in a fashion that anyone can understand. It's beautiful.
Amanda Martin is Vice President of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, and Patty Hayes is CEO of AWS Foundation. Thank you so much for joining me today to discuss this trio of impactful exhibits, ladies, as well as bringing them to our awareness.
Thank you.
Thank you.